For our final service of the afternoon, we're going to be privileged to hear from our brother Burton Brown of the Los Angeles Ecclesia. His subject for us this afternoon is Stewards of the Grace of God. Stewards of the Grace of God, Brother Brown.
Thank you very much, Brother Stephen. Well, Sister Nancy and I are very pleased and privileged to be able to be with you at convention this year. We want to bring to you the love and greetings of your brethren in Los Angeles. As ever, wherever we are met together, it's a wonderful privilege to be with those of like precious faith. Those who are running for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And those who have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. And for the ensuing few moments, we're going to use some words from our brother Paul, Apostle Paul, from the book of Colossians, beginning in the first verse. For Paul said, I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. And here the apostle is telling us that we have a wonderful inheritance. Just heard about that. It's the inheritance of the saints in light. An inheritance of knowing the mysteries of God. And that's what the apostle is talking about here. The mystery of God. And what is the mystery? So often we narrow that down and say, it's the church. But the church is not the only mystery that's found in the scripture. No, there are many mysteries. There's the mystery of the seven stars, the mystery of the seven golden candlesticks, the mystery of Babylon the Great. And here we have another mystery to which only you and I are privileged to know. And the Lord, in the 13th chapter of Matthew, tells us what this was when he said to them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. And what a wonderful mystery this gospel of the kingdom is. The world of mankind don't know about the kingdom. We can talk about it from the housetops, and for the most part they'll say it's too good to be true. But brethren, we know that it is not too good to be true. And Paul goes on in the 6th verse of this same chapter, where he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. And as ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Established in the faith. Not just any faith, but it's the faith that we have received through a knowledge of God's Word. Remember, all men have not faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But all men have not faith. However, as stewards of the grace of God, We read this little phrase in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and the 10th verse, where he tells us that as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. A wonderful phrase. Stewards of the manifold grace of God. And what is this grace of God? Certainly it's His unmerited favor. And that favor which He showed to us when He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever has faith, believes in Him, will have everlasting life. And what a wonderful favor it is for us to have this stewardship of the grace of God. Stewards of the plan of God, knowing His will. His will not only for us, but for that, for the whole world of mankind, and that in due time. And how wonderful are His words to us. As He told us in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, the reason that we have received this stewardship. 2nd chapter, 9th verse. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But, and here's a little phrase, but He hath revealed them unto us, you and I. Only you and I have had this revealed to us. How? It's by His Spirit, His Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And so it is that as simple as the plan of God may seem to us, it is one of the deep things of God. Some think that restitution is not a deep thing. But ask anyone out in the world if they know anything about restitution. It's certainly a deep thing. And these things are being revealed to us as we search the Scripture daily. And I like the words that Brother Mike read for us in the first chapter of Colossians. For this cause we, since the day we heard this gospel of the kingdom, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of God. You know, there's a little Greek word there. Brother Gonis can verify this. It's the little word epi. That we might be filled with the exact knowledge of God. Many have a knowledge of God, but is it an exact knowledge? Yes, he's praying that we might be just filled with this exact knowledge of his law, of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That we might walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing him, and increasing in the exact knowledge of God. Returning to Paul's words in Colossians, the 1st chapter, in the 23rd verse, he says that we must continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard. Brethren, it's possible for us to be moved and moved away from the gospel. But he tells us in the 23rd verse, but that we must be continue in the faith, grounded and settled. And how are we to be grounded and settled? The apostle tells us in Hebrews, it's the same word, as we are to be immovable. We are to have a foundation based upon the word of truth. And Paul gives us this same word of warning in the second chapter in the second verse, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. And as we are knit together in love, we are to beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men. It's the eighth verse of the second chapter. Being rooted and grounded in Him, we're to be developed in love and embrace all the scriptural teachings relative to what the Lord and the apostles taught. And why? Why? That we might connect the complete plan of God into one harmonious whole. That we too might be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And as we draw near the kingdom, the great day of His wrath is upon us. And remember the prophet in Malachi, the second verse, says, "Who shall stand when He appeareth?" Why? Because He is trying every man's work of what sort it is. There's a similar statement in Revelation, the sixth chapter, and the 17th verse, where the Revelator tells us we are in this great day. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Are we in this day of time when winds of doctrine will blow? Winds of false teachings at times. And if we're not deeply rooted and grounded in the hope of the gospel, we can be blown away. As the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, 14th verse, he exhorts us that we be not tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Along this same thought, we have another statement from the Apostle Jude, where he tells us in the third verse, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And what is the faith? We answer that it's that which we believe. It's the teachings which we understand and then endeavor to have an exact knowledge thereof. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, that it's all scripture that's given by inspiration of God. It's for reproof, profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Yes, this word of truth is profitable for doctrine. These doctrines, we believe, are the understanding of the teachings that are those that have been pointed out to us by our Lord through that wise and faithful servant. And briefly stated, we can say that they're summed up in the understanding of fall, ransom, restitution, God's plan for man. Yes, our doctrines are based upon these things. Some think that doctrine is not necessary. Love covers the multitude of sin, which is true. But it's the doctrine that has caused us to come together, that has separated us from the world of mankind. Yes, we're separated people. We are a people who are stewards of the grace of God. And as stewards, Paul goes on to say in 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Brethren, it's the doctrines, not the traditions of men, that have set us apart. Therefore, as Paul tells us, we must study to show ourselves approved unto God. Study what? The doctrines. Study these, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let us then, in the words of the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 3:15, he tells us, examine ourselves whether we be in the faith, proving our own selves. And then to Titus he wrote, holding fast the faithful word as we have been taught, that we may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Yes, the apostles all laid great stress upon doctrine. Love, another facet. But as we say, it's the doctrine that has caused us to separate ourselves from the world. So, I recall one of the, at a recent convention, there was a discussion on one of the doctrines. It was called the binding of Satan. And it was said that Satan was being bound, and that this binding was determined by the length of the chain. How long is the chain? Each link would determine how long it was going to take for Satan to be bound. Brethren, how unscriptural can we get? Remember what the Lord said in Revelation. Satan was to be bound 1,000 years. God's mighty power can do that, and it doesn't take a long period of time. In fact, this phrase, the binding of Satan, is in itself an unscriptural term, for it indicates that binding takes a period of time to accomplish. Does it really? Well, truly, we believe that Satan is being restrained. In the 20th chapter of Revelation, the first two verses, remember what it says about this mighty angel that comes down from God out of heaven? God. From God? A creator of the heavens and the earth, this mighty being, he's going to have to take time to do this. Comes down from God out of heaven. And he lays hold on the old dragon, that is the serpent, which is a devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. It's like that. Yes, it's not a period of time. Oh, yes, Satan has been restrained. And when has he start to be restrained? Can anybody say? Is it this end of the age? Restrained now. He began to be restrained way back there in the Garden of Eden. What was he trying to do from the very beginning? To destroy the seed. And God has restrained him from doing that all the way down till now. Yes? Satan will be bound 1,000 years. And who will do that binding? It's this mighty angel. And I believe that that mighty angel consists of Christ and the church. Remember, we're told that we're to live and reign with him 1,000 years. Is that not the same period of time? If it isn't, then what are we doing here? Brethren, in these last days since our Lord's return, do we believe that Satan is not our adversary, going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? Peter tells us that he is. Do we believe that there are no false prophets or teachers endeavoring to deceive the very elect? The Lord tells us in Matthew 24 that there are. Do we believe that we do not wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places? Paul tells us we do. Do we believe we do not need the whole armor of God? We all know that we have to put on the whole armor of God that we might withstand the wiles of the adversary. Do we believe that because Satan is bound, it is his cohorts that are the deceivers? There's no scripture to say that. If we answer yes to any of these statements, Satan himself has transformed himself into an angel of light. He would like us to believe that he is bound, or even being bound. Yes, we have now greater advantage than any of our brethren of the past, if this were the case. But we have no greater advantage, because remember, your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Remember what Job said when the sons of God all came together? Satan came also. Referring to this subject, I like Brother Russell's last statement. It's in the question book on page 627. And in 1916, he was asked, how will Satan be bound 1,000 years? And his answer was, just how, we do not know. The great and important thought is that he shall be bound. Whether this shall be accomplished by the word or by some other power, let us not worry about that. The word says that he will be bound for 1,000 years, and that is enough. If the Lord had cared to give us more information on this point, he would have done so. And we are therefore content with what we have. I suppose as the light increases, the prince of darkness will thus be restrained of his liberties. I do not give this out as an interpretation. The Bible does not tell us how this will be accomplished, and therefore it is enough for us to know that it is written, Satan shall be bound 1,000 years. Do we believe this? I think that we do. And then I like his comment also in the manna for July 10. And he said that our words should always be well within the limits of reason and righteousness, and strictly in conformity to the word of the Lord. In other words, he said that we should have a thus saith the Lord for those things which we believe. Let us remember the words of our Lord and the apostles in the 24th chapter of Matthew. Take heed. The diglot says, beware. Beware that no man deceive you, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Are we ignorant? We pray that we're not. For we're in a time when the Apostle Paul tells us, 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Turned unto fables. These are not my words, brethren. They're the Apostle Paul. And I think that we have seen, not too far back, that there are those who are endeavoring to deceive the very elect. And unfortunately, some are being shaken. Those who have not been grounded and settled in the truth. Yes, brethren, these are serious times for the church. For those who are running for this prize of the high calling. For those who are endeavoring to fulfill their covenant of sacrifice and become part of that seed of promise. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And it was, remember, it was the serpent was going to be destroyed by that seed of promise. You can see why he's been trying to destroy the seed, because he wants to make himself ruler of the world. Tried that with our Lord, first temptations when he went into the wilderness. But being stewards of the gospel, we must take heed with what we say, what we teach. We've recently seen new brethren that just came into the truth, just immersed. And these brethren all need encouragement, as we all need encouragement along this narrow way. And not be told, as I heard one say immediately after the immersion, someone has lost their crown. Isn't that too bad? Nobody has lost their crown. Be thou faithful unto death, and then I will give thee the crown of life. Yes, we have crown reserved in heaven for us. But we haven't lost it if we've never gained it. Yes. And then I heard another one say, as this brother was walking away from the immersion, he'll never make it. Wonderful encouragement, isn't it? Discouragement? Yes. Satan is right there. But being steward of the gospel and ambassadors for Christ, we are accountable for our words. And in our words of the convention theme text, we are children of the light. Let us show forth the light of the gospel. It's a wonderful gospel. Gospel of the good news of the kingdom. for those who have been called to this joint heirship with our Lord and Savior. Yes, stewards of the gospel. If we're stewards of the good news, we're not going to give bad news. Yet that's what Satan would like us to do. And in the words of this text, let us hold forth the light in all of its truth and clarity, beauty, and be admonished by the words of the Apostle Paul. Holding fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. And then he tells what those good works are. In doctrine. In our teachings. Those things showing uncorruptness. Being grave and sincere. Speaking the things which become sound doctrine. So then as we press along in this narrow way that leads to life eternal, may we continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Him who has called us out of darkness into this wonderful light of truth. Be grounded and settled, laying hold on the hope that is set before us, so that when we come to the end of our course, we may hear that, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. And when we do come to the end of our course and hear that, well done, it will be a time of joy and rejoicing for each one who have laid hold on the hope that is set before us as stewards of the grace of God. What a wonderful message it is for us to hold on to. And may the Lord add His blessing.
Thank you, Brother Brown. Stewards of the grace of God. May the Lord bless you for that service to us. We'll ask Brother Burton to ask the Lord's blessing as we depart and upon our fellowship and the temporal provisions.
Our eternal, gracious Heavenly Father, we do humbly and gratefully bow our heads and our hearts before Thee, so thankful for Thy love and Thy mercy toward us, the giving of Thine only begotten Son on our behalf, that through Him we may come unto Thee and call Thee our Heavenly Father. Now as we depart from this place for our temporal meal, we pray that Thou will bless it to our youth. Continue to guide and direct our fellowship, the words that we speak, that they may be pleasing unto Thee. And forgive us when we have said anything amiss this day. Guide and direct us in all the ways of truth and righteousness by Thy Holy Spirit. We pray not only for ourselves here gathered, but for all our brethren the world over, those endeavoring to serve Thee in spirit and in truth everywhere. And for the world, we do pray once again, Thy kingdom to soon come, and Thy will to be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. These things we ask now, not in any merit of our own, but in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.